Well, good morning. I want to ask you five questions. It's five questions. It's a bit of a quiz. At the end of the five questions, well, not five questions, five statements. At the end of these five statements, I want you to put up the number of fingers, or thumbs, or whatever you've got, of how many you think are true. Okay? Five things. Are they true or not? Pineapples take 2 years to grow. That's number one. Acacia trees in Africa communicate with each other. That's number two. Number three, armadillos are bulletproof. Number four, the Great Pyramid of Gaza is made up of 2.3 million bricks, or million blocks, that each weigh 2.5 tons. And number five, a tiger's roar can be heard up to 2 miles away. So there's five facts. One about pineapples, acacia trees, armadillos, the pyramids, and a tiger's roar. How many of them are true? Put your hand up now with the numbers of numbers. We've got four, we've got two, we've got three, four. We've got Dave at the back with a five. Fran with a five, but there's a four and a two and a three. Well, those of you on the back row with fives, well done. You're correct. Why would I lie? Why would I lie? I'm not lying. This is a service about telling the truth. So, of course, I'm going to give you five facts that are completely true. So the internet says. But, five things that are true. And if we look at this passage from that Jesus said, he continues in the Sermon on the Mount, the simple reading of it is tell the truth. Yeah, let's just be people who tell the truth, the plain truth, nothing embellishing it. You know, as Sue was saying, let's not try and cover up lies. You know, we don't take anything away from the truth. We don't exaggerate it. We just tell the truth. Simple. Jesus here is once again challenging us to look at our hearts. To look at our hearts, because probably we all know that there are times when we struggle to tell the truth. There are times when we struggle to be as honest as we want to be, or to keep that promise we made. You know, the vows we make, do we keep them? And it's so true, isn't it, that we all are human and we struggle and we sometimes get it wrong. And Jesus knew it was about the heart. In Luke 6, he said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Yes, so it's what is in our heart that is going to be the thing that helps us to be true. But the problem is, we, down through the years, people have sought to avoid telling the truth. That's why Jesus sort of says, you swear by this thing, you swear by this, you swear by that. Why are you doing all that? But it was the original purpose was obviously you swear by something, you swear by the Lord's name, so that people knew it was going to happen. But then over the years, the tradition became that if you swear by one thing, then that means you've got to put it into practice. You've got to do it. But if you swear by something else, you don't have to do it. There's a sort of a get-out clause. For example, if you made an oath by Jerusalem, that'd be one thing. And if you made an oath towards Jerusalem, that'd be another. Now, one of them you would have to keep. In Jesus' day, the Jewish people would say, yeah, because obviously, if you swear towards Jerusalem, you have to keep that one. Because I don't really know why. But if you swear by Jerusalem, that's okay. You don't have to keep that oath. Strange, isn't it? They had all these rules because they wanted to get out of telling the truth. But Jesus said, you've heard it said. And so let's have a look at what was said in Numbers 30. It says, Moses summoned the leaders, the tribes of Israel, and told them, this is what the Lord has commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord, who makes a pledge under oath, must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. Or in Deuteronomy 23, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you'll be guilty of sin. And people went, yeah, okay, that's good, but how can we get out of it? And Jesus was clearly frustrated with the people saying, having all these different things that they said, oh, if you promise by this, that's valid, and if you promise by that, it's not valid. Because he had even stronger words for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. When he was getting going in the sort of final week of his life, he said to the Pharisees, blind guides. You know, nice way of welcoming people and giving them a friendly welcome. Blind guides, what sorrow awaits you? For you say that it means nothing to swear by God's temple, but that it is binding to swear by the gold in the temple. Blind fools, what's more important, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? And you say that to swear by the altar is not binding, but to swear by the gifts on the altar is binding. How blind! For which is more important, the gift on the altar or the altar that makes the gift sacred? When you swear by the altar, you are swearing by it and by everything on it. And when you swear by the temple, you are swearing by it and by God who lives in it. And when you swear by heaven, you are swearing by the throne of God and by God who sits on the throne. You are blind. Yeah, tough. Tough words that Jesus was using when people make vows but say, I'm not going to keep them. How often do we make promises with almost a virtual having my hands crossed behind our back? You know, say, yeah, I don't really mean it. I'm just making this promise because I want to please you. How often do we make these promises when we know we're not going to keep them? We make a promise and we give a condition to it. We make a promise and sometimes we say, no, I swear on my life that I make. You say, well, why are you doing that? What's that going to make? So the next promise you make when you don't say that, you're not being as honest. Jesus was saying, no, let's be people who just make promises. And we say yes, and we say no. But it's interesting because we can see that Paul made vows. So, you know, when Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, he said, I declare before God what I'm writing to you is not a lie. Yeah, I declare before God. He was making a vow. He was swearing by God. So is Paul saying, haha, Jesus, you got it wrong. You do need to make vows. No, I think what Paul is doing is using a standard that what you do when you're writing in literary thing, and it's what people expected Paul to say. What Jesus was talking about was our hearts when we're dealing with one another, our hearts when we're in a personal relationship. But then we can look and we can see that Jesus himself responds to a vow when he's on trial. We read in Matthew 26, the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God that tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said it. And in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." I think Jesus is saying it's okay to give a required oath. Yeah, if you're in court and you're asked to give an oath, that's okay. Yeah, Jesus is saying it's okay. In that way, you know, you're getting married, give an oath. But sometimes when we're with people, everyday life, it should be about yes and no. How much would that change the community of God's people? Yeah, if the only thing that came out of our mouths was words of truth, yeah, words of promise that we meant, yeah, words of just plain honesty with no embellishment, no exaggeration, no secrets. Jesus wants our conversations to be honest, our character to be true. Let's not make up things, embellish things to try and get people to like us to come to church. That's a lie. You know, if we don't want people to come based on an untruth. Let's be true with people. Paul was going to preach today. It's why I'm looking at my notes a lot, because I haven't had a lot of chance to think about this message. So I'm sorry about that, because Paul was going to preach, and he gave me a sort of a couple of paragraphs with what he was going to say. In one of his paragraphs, he said, "Then I will use that Dostoevsky quote on truth." And he didn't say which one. So I had fun reading through loads of... No, I didn't. The internet's good for that, isn't it? And so I found this quote from Dostoevsky. "To make the truth more plausible, it's absolutely necessary to mix a bit of falsehood with it." I thought, really, Paul? Is that a good quote? But perhaps he's not that one. But it's true, isn't it? That so often that's what we might think. Yeah, can I be totally honest? Or do I need to mix a bit of smooth talk? Mix a bit of something to make it palatable to others? No, let's be about the whole truth. Jesus wants his followers to have high regard for truth, for integrity, way higher than the former commands of the Old Testament law. Yeah, with all its detail about when you have to keep things or when you don't have to keep things. Now, Jesus said, look, it's about your hearts and it's a high bar. When you say yes, mean it. And when you say no, mean it. You know, it's a sad indictment of the church that there's been many occasions when we've tried to protect a reputation of someone. We've tried to protect a name. We've been trying to protect a ministry. And we've failed to give the full truth. We've failed to give the full truth. We see that in some of the stories about safeguarding and about how people have failed to tell the whole truth because they were trying to protect someone. Yeah, we want to be people who give the whole truth. We know that all things will come to light. So let's be people who are true, who are honest. Pythagoras, a good guy from the old days, he had a strict rule in his school, and it wasn't just about triangles, but he had a strict rule in his school, and he said, no lying. No lying. And if he caught someone who was lying, they were expelled. It meant the community in that school was one where they could totally trust one another. The community grew. The community was known as a strong community, a community that valued one another and loved one another and cared for one another because they were honest with one another. I don't want to expel people who lie. I'm not sure there'd be many of us left. I certainly would be, I have to go out the door. But let's be people that say we want to be, we want to be a community of people who are true. You know, how about that we want to be people like Nathaniel? Yeah, a person of integrity. That's what Jesus calls us to be. I think he wants us to be honest. He wants us to be true. He wants us to be, you know, like that stick of rock that has honesty and integrity all the way through it. You know, it has Jesus all the way through it and it doesn't have any breakages or anything because we're fully for him. In John chapter 1, we read this Philip, who's met Jesus, and he goes off to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Wouldn't it be great if, when people saw you coming, they said, here comes a woman of complete integrity, a man of complete integrity. That's what Jesus wants. And it's so tricky because our hearts are not quite there, which is why we need to come to the cross and say, Jesus, I need your help. I so need your help because I want to be a person of integrity because I know that reflects who you are. I want to be like that. So I want to give a couple of sort of helpful hints as to how we could start that. And it's sort of just about how we use yes or no. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul, it said he had already said to them that he'd wanted to visit them twice and then he's only able to visit them once. And so he's explaining that he is still someone who can be trusted, which is great. He said, since I was so sure of your understanding and trust, I wanted to give you a double blessing by visiting you twice. First on my way to Macedonia, and again when I returned from Macedonia. Then you could send me on my way to Judah. You may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like the people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. And then I love Paul. He sort of goes off into just praise and glory and wonderful things. He says, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Yes, we know that Jesus is yes. He is God and he can say yes. Yeah, to all things. His promises can come true because he is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And he, you know, he is yes. But if we always say yes, we get tired out. We get exhausted. We get worn down because we're not God. Yeah, so let's not be people who always say yes, because there'll come a time when we are too worn out, we're too tired, we're too busy, we're too whatever, and it means we can't do whatever it is we've promised to do. And that's not being a person of integrity. So the other way is that we always say no. But then you're just seen as someone really lazy. And so I don't think Jesus wants us always to say yes or always to say no. So we could say, to keep things safe, we could always say no, but sometimes do the things. Yeah, because then we haven't broken any promises. We've just been nice and we've done all these nice things. Yeah, someone asks us to do lots of stuff and we go, no, no. But then we secretly go and do them. That's just frustrating for people, isn't it? Because they can't rely on you. They can't rely on you because they might have to get someone else to do this because you said you weren't going to do it. Or perhaps you're someone that says yes, knowing that you're going to end up saying no. If we're going to be people of integrity, I think we need to say, God, help me to say yes to the right things and no to the right things. Yeah? Not so that I upset people. You know, and I don't want to say no, you know, yes just because I want to please people. Yeah, I want to say yes. I want to say no. And sometimes we say, I don't yet know. Because that's honest. Sometimes. I would like to. I'll let you know. And then we do. Because that's being a person of integrity. Yeah, being honest, being someone who each day says, yes, God, I'm putting you first. I'm going to be honest, a person of integrity. Chuck Swindoll says this, honesty has a beautiful and refreshing simplicity about it. No ulterior motives, no hidden meanings, an absence of hypocrisy, duplicity, political games, and verbal superficiality. And honesty, as honesty and real integrity characterize our lives, there will be no need to manipulate others. And Jesus seems to have stressed the irrelevance of unnecessary speech. Yeah, he says, don't say yes and yes and yes and yes and convince it. Just say yes. Josephus wrote of the ancient Essenes, a group of people, and he said, they are eminent for fidelity and the minister and are ministers of peace. Whatever they say also is firmer than an oath. Swearing is avoided by them and they esteem it worse than perjury. For they said that he who cannot be believed without swearing is already condemned. Yeah, it's our character should be one that says, you can trust me. I can trust you. Let's grow together. I did find another quote from Dostoevsky. I can't even say his name. But Dostoevsky, I found another quote that he said that I thought was also really helpful. And I think this is perhaps highlights something that is more important. Because yes, it's good that we can be people of integrity with each other. And we can be honest with each other. But as this says, above all, don't lie to yourself. The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to a point that he cannot distinguish the truth within him or around him, and so loses all respect for himself and for others. Are we struggling to be honest with ourselves? Are we sometimes people that tell ourselves we're going to do all these great things? We're going to do these solid things. We're going to do these things in response to what we hear on a Sunday or we read in Scripture. We say we're going to do them, and then we know we don't. We make promises to God. We make vows to God. And we know we're not going to do them. So easy to be honest with others, but not to be honest with myself. And I think God wants us to be honest with ourselves and with Him. It might be we say, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to know that you're a God of love at the moment. I'm struggling to know that you're a good God. I'm struggling with this. I'm doubtful about this. Let's be honest with God. He is big enough to take our doubts, our fears, our anger. He can take all that, and we can be honest with Him. And it might be that you're so wanting to be one thing, and you know that you fail yourself. I just want to invite you this morning, as we sort of close this bit and onto the bit of sung response, but I invite you, while we're singing, to be thinking, God, this is me. This is me with my doubts. This is me with my fears. This is me with my anger. This is me with my struggles. You know, Jesus himself in the garden struggled. As he knew that God had begun to turn his face away, he struggled, and he relied on people because God seemingly wasn't there. But Jesus went on through Gethsemane and to the cross so that God never has to turn his face away from you. And so let's be honest before him. He won't turn you away. He won't be surprised. He won't be shocked. I think God will simply say, thank you. Thank you for today choosing to be honest with me. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who has integrity. Integrity in all my relationships, which includes myself and includes God. And that's the person I want to be. So Lord, I'm coming before you. Nothing in my hand, Lord. I have nothing here that makes me special before you. I know in so many ways I'm dressed in in tattered rags. I'm broken and I'm hurting. I've failed myself. I've let myself down. And Lord, I come before you and I say, Lord, work in my heart, Lord. Change me. Come close, Jesus. Help me to be the man, the woman you want me to be. Lord, I give it all to you. I kneel before your throne and say, Lord, Lord, heal me. Lord, melt me. Change me. Mold me. Fill me, Lord. It's all about you.